Landy Wen was 夏天的风 here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM.My name is Leslie, and I really love that song, actually. 夏天的风, it's kind of like the quintessential Mandopop love song for the summer, and it's very sweet. You know, there's like, the chorus goes like, I remember that windy summer when you told me you loved me.And I realized your cool smile also had a cute side to it. It's just like kind of sweet. Makes my heart flutter. Yeah, we're talking about idols and stuff here. And so I hope you've been enjoying this kind of like, I don't know, girly pop. I don't know what that means. It's like girly pop music.Summer love songs playlist. I'm gonna go back to talking about like New Jeans Honey singing Seiko Matsuda on Japanese national television, because I think like it's really like an interesting testament to like the intercultural aspect of like idols and stuff like thatFor that, I think we actually kind of have to, like, start with, like, where K-pop comes from. And if you don't already know, I'll try to break it down for you real quick. So, it is really, like, this, like, hybrid culture thing, right? Entertainers in the 1990s and early 2000s were borrowing sonic aesthetics from American...pop music, and particularly like R&B, and also with hip-hop, and also European like dance music, and also borrowing elements of the Japanese idol star system, combining it all with like Korean culture and language and youth issues to create this thing called K-pop.Which is why, in some ways, K-pop actually can feel quite familiar, especially if you, you know, listened to, like, pop R&B of, like, the 90s and the 2000s. Like, there's, you know, a lot of, like, black cultural influence in K-pop in those ways.Over the past several months, whenever I've talked about idols on the program, I think one of the themes that has come up commonly is the idea that idols can transcend borders. And this doesn't really have to do with music, like the whole like music has no borders, etc. But it is the idea of like the actual performer and how that product comes into being, right? And with this particular cover that Honey performed on national Japanese television, I think it's so fascinating because, like, I find it almost as, like, a circle back moment to the roots of K-pop. Seiko Matsuda really, like, she...Because she's, like, you know, the eternal idol, she's really, like, a really strong testament as to how successful, for some people, the Japanese idol star system ended up becoming for certain people's careers. I find that really, really fascinating because of just the way that K-pop has essentially always been transcendent of borders, right? Even in the way that it gained popularity, Korean popular culture since the 90s, like the late 90s and the early 2000s, has always been popular amongst people who don't liveDirectly in South Korea, right? I'll say it like this, I guess. Like, it, like, these are cultural products that did not need the approval and love of white Americans, I guess, in order to be global phenomena. There's like a lot of like intercultural trade and cultural exchange in the late 90s and early 2000s that made Korean popular culture, particularly films and movies, but also music, become a thing that helped boost the Korean economy and Korean cultural political influence. Like, there are like actual academic journals that talk about this particular like point in history. And if I had more time, I would tell you this incredible anecdote about Jewel in the Palace, which I don't have time to tell you about today. But I, you know, that's just one example, I think, of how actually, like, global K-pop is. And so I think, like, in some ways, I sometimes find myself feeling that discourse around this cultural phenomenon in the West, and particularly in my experience, what I've seen, and this is not true of everyone, everybody has different experiences, you know, but particularly what I've seen is like white North Americans making discourse about, or making discourse, what am I on, Twitter? I'm going to talk like a normal person. Really, like, white North Americans who maybe have not experienced seeing that many Asian people entertaining them on television in a language that is not theirs, I find their evaluation, I guess, of K-pop being this, like, quote-unquote global thing now, only now, to be to not be, to be ahistorical, to be ahistorical. That's what I'm going to say, to be ahistorical. Because here's the thing, right? Before, so NewJeans has not yet released an English single or album. That it seems like they are not quite ready to enter into the English speaking market, even though they have already performed at like North American venues, like Head in the or North American concerts like Head in the Clouds, for example, in LA and Chicago, I think, last year. Even before BTS got play on radio with English songs, even before, like, before them, there were acts like Girls' Generation who released an English single, The Boys, in the, I want to say early 2010s. There was also BoA who tried to enter the English-speaking market and who was, I think, a little bit more successful. And there was Wonder Girls who also released songs in English. Before them, though, Seiko Matsuda, at the peak of her popularity in the mid-1980s and into the 1990s, released English albums that had varying levels of success. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this particular thing after a music break. Speak of the devil herself, here is Seiko Matsuda with Natsu no Tobira. Oh, Girls Rule by Nogizaka 46 here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I just love that song. I just love Nogizaka 46. I love the Sakamichi series in general, like these idols. If you don't know about that, CJSF.ca, go into the archive for Typically Tuesdays late March into, I think, early April. You'll know more about the Sakamichi series. But that song is just so fun, and in my opinion, it's all about youth, all about spending your last summer of high school. Really good time. I hope you enjoyed that too. Wrapping up my conversation here about my one-way conversation, my monologue here about, actually it is a monologue, yeah. Wrapping up my monologue here about New Jeans Hani covering Seiko Matsuda on national Japanese television. You know, one of the things that I've found really interesting is this notion that, like, a cultural product only becomes legitimately successful when it has reached white audiences and is beloved by white audiences. And one of the examples, I think, is in Seiko Matsuda. She released English songs in the mid-80s and early 90s and tried to make it into the English market, and with varying degrees of success. And I think one of the big reasons why she did not ultimately become a household name in North America is because of anti-Japanese racism of the 1980s and 90s. And when I think about, like, the popularity of K-pop now, I understand, you know, with any cultural product, I understand why, like, people would want it to, like, you know, make waves in the most culturally and politically powerful nation on earth, in order for it to be considered, like, a commercial or global success. I get that. And at the same time, I think, like, on the fandom level, and on, even not on the fandom level, but, like, on the discursive level, for example, when I'm talking to you about this type of thing, I think it is worth considering that, like, the world is not just the United States. Because I think to myself, like, what are, especially for Asian people who, like, really hinge on this idea that, like, oh, we're finally making it, like, our people are finally making it because K-pop is popular in amongst white Americans. Like, what do we gain with needing the approval of these, like, American daytime talk shows having high ratings when, you know, whatever group is performing on their television show? You know, this isn't even to mention the fact that, like, the U.S. continues to have military occupation of Jeju Island. The U.S. is still occupying a lot of places in the Asian continent. And that adds another more loaded layer to this conversation that we don't have time for today, actually, unfortunately. One of the testaments of K-pop's success is the fact that there are non-Korean people who want to become K-pop stars, and who not only just want to perform in Korean, but who want to create their own, like, non-Korean music and performances based on the K-pop star system, as in, for example, MI and XG and Cat's Eye and Vicha, is that the name? Vicha? And similarly with Seiko, you know, one of the great testaments to her success is the fact that after 40 years, people are still singing her songs. They're singing her songs, covering them on national Japanese television. And they are people who you would least expect, you know, this Vietnamese Australian K-pop star who kind of has her own career to focus on. So for me, when I think about this cover, it's not just that I like it because it was done really well. I like it because it's Honey New Jeans. I like it because it's Seiko Matsuda. But I also like it because there seems to be this interesting through line. And it makes me think about what in 40 years might the idol world look like. 40 years ago, Seiko was the big star, right? And she is still a big star. She's maybe not exactly an idol anymore, but she was the real deal. And now you have these changes in the way that, like, Asian popular entertainment is shifting, and changes in the way that it is being discussed and received in other parts of the world, and shifting because of all the cultural influences and the political influences. It just makes me really fascinated to see what the future of this, like, kind of niche star system will look like in the future. And that's it. That's the end of the show. I think I've talked about a whole lot of nothing today. But if you have opinions about this particular performance, or if you have opinions or questions about idols and things like that, reach out to me. I'm on Instagram at Typically Tuesdays. You can also email me, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Let's talk about idols and stuff. Specifically girl group idols. I'm sorry, I don't really like male idols all that much. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Typically Tuesdays. Please check out more great CJSF programming. Why don't you tune into Wham Bam East Van, airing Thursdays at 7 o'clock with your host DJ Medi. She and I have actually bonded over our shared appreciation and love of Seiko Matsuda. And shout out to DJ Medi, because she knows what I'm talking about. Check out Wham Bam East Van every Thursday from 7 to 8 in the evening. My name is Leslie, and I'm going to close off today's show with one last song. This is the song in question. This is what we've been talking about. I hope you enjoy, and it's the original. This is Aoi Sangosho by Seiko Matsuda, the legend, the icon herself. Hope you enjoy. Take care, and I'll talk to you very soon.